Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
What are the veterans of this football team saying about Joe Flacco? Emmanuel Sanders hopped on Twitter and he quote tweeted Adam Schefter with just like the googly eyes.
We're getting some good. Now we're getting them. The Valentine's Day cards on the RamosLaw.com text. They might be from Cole. I'm not sure who they're from, but they're good.
I remember this from a year ago.
Yeah, they're good. Tom Brady. Picture of Tom Brady, I'll kiss you like I do my son.
Oh. That was like a peck.
Oh. Oh.
There's a couple here that are on call.
Who's the guy that retired at Vontae Davis?
Yes, for the best.
Our love won't retire even at halftime. Good one.
There's some a good couple ones. Here. Yeah.
We can't read some of them. But thank you. We appreciate that on Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
Happy Valentine's Day. Total
you got any
sham
plans
of a
tonight?
Holiday.
Yeah, it is. But you got any plans tonight?
Yeah, packing a bag, really. Packing a bag. Headed Detroit, Michigan for the weekend.
Flint?
Not Flint.
Not 8 Mile?
No. Hopefully going to a safe neighborhood in a suburb in Michigan.
Hopefully so. Yeah. That ought to be a fun trip for you. Gonna go spend President's Day weekend in Michigan. It'll be a good time, right? Who you going with? Family?
My wife and kid.
Awesome. What are y'all going to like the Great Lakes over there or something? Going to go boating or I don't know what you do over there. It's got to be cold still. Like, is that where y'all choose to go for President's Day weekend?
My brother-in-law lives there.
Y'all close? Oh, my God.
Chris Harris Jr.
Fun trip. I mean, who doesn't want to go to Detroit, Michigan for President's Day weekend to see their brother-in-law? I can't wait to hear about this trip.
Stokely, Steven, give me that drop one more time. I hate that guy. No, I'm actually, kidding aside, I'm really looking forward to it.
No, you're not.
I am.
Your wife's not listening. You can tell the truth. All right, give it to me. That was fun.
Chris Harris, for who?
For me.
Chris Harris Jr. Said, quote, I like it. Hopefully we get more pieces around him, end quote. Talking about the Flacco news.
Chris Harris Jr., speaking of him, just real quick. I mean, he was starting to, like, really, his Kyler Murray tweets. Like, he was
advocating.
Really, really, like, pushing almost. And I like
lobbying.
Yes. So, but
endorsing.
Sure.
He said he should be the number one overall pick.
Yep.
He's like, you guys make it way too hard. This guy's won at every single level. He's the number one overall pick.
Right.
For what it's worth. Now, Emmanuel said in a text to Mike Kliss of 9 News, quote, big move by Elway. Veteran leader who has won the big game. We also have money to spend in free agency as well. Looking forward to seeing more pieces put into place. Emmanuel and Chris Harris are saying the same thing. They're saying, good signing, upgrade. And what else?
Those guys are happy, right? I mean, that's what you want to see as a player. Like, you're sitting there as a veteran player, and you're like, goodness gracious, last couple of years have not been fun. Like, what are we going to do different to turn things around next year? Well, this obviously is a big piece of the pie. Going to get an upgrade at the quarterback position, a veteran guy like Emmanuel Sanders said, a veteran who has won the big game. Like, these guys know about Joe Flacco. He comes in with that built-in equity. And now it's like, okay, now what's next? And there will be a next. And I think there will be ultra-aggressive. And so, you know, it gets that energy back going in the locker room, in the building, and gets guys like rejuvenated. You know, losing, and it's hard to explain it to people on the outside, but losing can just wear on you. And it becomes a habit. And you get kind of, I don't want to say used to it, but it's just like, okay, well, you know, there's another loss. You know, and winning is the same thing. There's a culture. And right now it's a losing culture. So you got to try to change that. And certainly I think they're going to go big on top of this Flacco move and free agency to get that energy back in that building, the winning culture back in that building.
Need more, though. And, well, and that's what Mark Schlereth was saying this morning, too. He's like, yes, you upgraded the position. If you expect Joe Flacco to perform at a high level with this offensive line in front of him, you're mistaken. We need to make moves. We need to upgrade that unit in particular.
And I think John realizes that, right? The only problem there, it's like quarterbacks. Everybody's looking for good offensive linemen. Everybody is nowadays. They know how important they are. So everybody's looking for these great offensive linemen. They hit free agency and they just get paid.
The supply doesn't match the demand.
It just doesn't. So we'll see how creative John can be and if he can add some pieces there. But certainly, hopefully with the Mike Munchak hiring, he can get the most out of the players that he has here, but also, you know, sprinkle in a player or two. So hopefully Garrett Bowles plays at another level. Hopefully Matt Paradis comes back. Sam Jones, some of these young guys, and hopefully that coach Mike Munchak can have them playing at a higher level. And certainly Joe Flacco should help them out.
Sure.
That's the thing here. You know, yes, we do need a better offensive line if we want to see the best from Joe Flacco. But at the same time, Joe Flacco needs to help them out. He needs to help. That's what good, great quarterbacks do. They help the guys around them be better than who they are. And, you know, we'll see what Joe Flacco looks like, what type of player he is here in Denver. But certainly his veteran presence and playing in as many games and as many big moments as he has, he should help that group out.
Sure. That's easy to understand.
But there was something in there that we were just talking about. I'm just like, well, we'll have to see about that with something that was said that just, I don't know how it's going to turn out.
I want to hear what's on your mind next. What did you read that had you a little bit skeptical a little bit? Was it one of the quotes that I read you from Emmanuel?
I forgot.
You said you were
reading. I'm just kidding.
I thought you were. It happens.
Right. No, what I was thinking about was, like, you know, Emmanuel Sanders and his situation here. How is that going to end? You know, how is it going to end with him? What's going to happen? I mean, it wouldn't shock me if they released him. It wouldn't shock me if they paid him the $10-11 million. I mean, I think anything is on the table right now when it comes to Emmanuel Sanders and whether he'll be back with the Denver Broncos. And it's hard to read John Elway, isn't it? I mean, he does things, I'm like, there's no chance that they're going to, you know, pay Virgil Green all that money and not try to make him take a haircut and not squeeze him here. Well, nope, they paid him. And in this situation, I just don't know. I mean, me personally, I think you got to do everything possible to have Emmanuel Sanders back.
I think that's what the Broncos are thinking.
You need that type of player, but at what price? I mean, and on top of that, you know, obviously you have to kind of have a feel on how this Achilles injury is going and the rehab is going, which
sure.
I'm sure he's doing it at the facility, right? So you'll have a good feel on that, the progress being made there. But is it at that, what's the number, like 11? I think it's
something right
10 and a half.
There,
yes.
Give me a sec. something right there. I got it.
It's right around 11, right?
It's 10.25.
Okay.
In base salary. The cap hit is almost $13 million.
Okay. So what do you do there? You know, do you try to make him take a pay cut where he might say, nope, just release me?
No. No. That guy, he was playing at too high of a level.
And
by the way, I don't think we have the luxury to do that. We need Emmanuel. We need him to play at a high level, and I'll take it a step further. I think we need another receiver. I do. I do not like the idea of...
I got one for you.
Too much of a burden on the young... We saw the way that Cortland handled it last year. He's right. A nice young player, and he's going to be ready eventually. I don't like the idea, because what if Emmanuel does go down? What if he's not the same?
I got one for you. And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing Timmy Pat.
Sure. Love.
Right.
Shoot. We're the Timmy Pat show.
Right. Looking forward to seeing him. But certainly, if you're looking for another receiver to add to the mix?
I know. Go ahead.
Pierre Garçon. It just makes a lot of sense.
Tell me why.
San Francisco 49ers, mm-hmm. Rich Scangarello knows the offense, knows Rich. Rich knows him. This guy's a tough, tough wide receiver, right? You know, he'll block in the running game. He'll be a good mentor to these young guys in the locker room. Good teammate. And you won't have to pay him a whole lot. I'm not thinking he's going to come in here and produce a 1,000-yard season. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you're bringing him mostly for his mentorship, mostly to help these young guys, this offense, and help Rich Scangarello with this offense and implementing it. Being like a coach on the football field. You can't have enough of those guys when you are learning a new offense and installing a new offense. And Pierre Garçon, who will be released by the 49ers, I don't know if he already has, but they're not going to pick up his option. It makes a lot of sense. And you'll be able to get him for cheap. So I think that that would be certainly a guy that I would explore bringing in if I was John Elway. But Emmanuel Sanders' situation is and here's why I do agree with you on Emmanuel Sanders. Like, okay, forget it. I'm paying him that $11 million. 10-2. I'm paying it. Because with this move that you made, you're not saying that, you know, we're trying to win in 3 years. You're not drafting a young quarterback saying, okay, we'll go through some growing pains here. We might go 5-11, 6-10 again. So be it. No, what you're saying is we want to win now. We want to win this year. And you're going to be aggressive in free agency, so you might as well keep your best wide receiver, the guy that was playing at such a high level before he got hurt.
Be aggressive with your own guy by not doing anything.
That's right.
By just keeping it the way it is. And that unto itself is a version of being aggressive because of his age, coming off the injury, and price point.
Yep. They've already kind of told us what direction they're heading. And they let us know that they're about winning in 2019. And I think they're going to piggyback that with being really aggressive in free agency. So you might as well keep your guy. And I think he will bounce back from this injury. And I think he will play at a high level next year. And
I like betting on guys when their professional life is up against the wall. Their backs are against the wall.
Yep.
And that's the scenario with Emmanuel Sanders. And by the way, it's another under-the-radar reason that I, after thinking about it for a day, like the Joe Flacco move even more.
Why?
Because Joe Flacco's professional life as a starting quarterback in this league is in limbo. Because if he falls on his face here, whose organization is now the plan for Joe Flacco? It wouldn't be anyone's plan. He's our plan here. But all likelihood would say the guy's got to perform at a high level to be one of the 32 starting NFL quarterbacks that exist on planet Earth.
Exactly. And who's going to pay Joe Flacco $20 million in 2020?
Only the Broncos if he plays well.
That's right. And who doesn't have any more guaranteed money on their contract?
That'd be Joe Flacco.
That's right. So who should be ultra, ultra motivated to see this thing through? And make your 18.5 this year. Make your 20 in 2020. And make your 24 and 21. Guarantee he wants to play out the next 3 years.
Of course he does.
And make that all that money.
Of course he does.
I know he's made a lot of money, but look.
There's always room to put more.
That's about $60 million for 3 years. Okay, I guarantee you he wants to see this thing through. And none of it's guaranteed. So he's got to play at a high level to get every cent of that. And it's not like a $32 million in 2021, something crazy. No, it's $24 million, which is nothing. So if he plays at a high level.
Especially by 2021, it'll be even less.
Exactly. If he plays at a high level, he'll make every penny of it.
But on top of the finances, Stoke, this guy has just been humbled. The team he won a Super Bowl with just chose Lamar Jackson over him. If you don't think this guy's coming in with a chip on his shoulder, I mean, this dude is in the same category for me as Emmanuel Sanders. Got a lot to prove. And we just happen to be in prove-it mode anyway.
I mean, that's it. Look, I mean, Flacco is a competitor, right? You want to prove those guys wrong. Oh, y'all went with Lamar Jackson over me? You don't think I have anything left? Oh, and y'all traded me to an AFC team? Okay. I hope we see y'all at some point.
I like that energy.
Yep. I was always ultra motivated when I got released from a team, and certainly that's not what just drives you, but it's always like if you need a little fuel, like, okay, they doubted me. All right, I want to prove them wrong.
That extra rep, that extra set.
Right. I mean, I tore my Achilles in Indy. They cut me. Must have not had that Ron Leary guaranteed for injury. They cut me, and then, I signed here. And, I mean, Rick, come on, Rick. Who's Ron Leary's agent?
Seriously. Jeez,
come on. You should have had that in my contract. I would have lucked into another year in Indy. But I came here, and I was like, okay, y'all thought I was done? All right, I'm going to show y'all that I'm not done, and you would have been a lot better off if you would have kept me. So I definitely use that for motivation. And Emmanuel Sanders is going to use it for motivation. Y'all, people think I'm done? They think the Broncos should cut me? And Joe Flacco will do the same. You're going to get the best out of those guys.
Stokely stoked up, and we're getting hyped next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
How about the Nuggets last night with a gritty win? Had a nice lead with a minute left, and they let it slip away. But they found a way with the game tied to make a play. I love seeing Isaiah Thomas out there knocking down threes. Jokic was great, tipping in that final winning basket. And now you're heading into the All-Star break, second in the West, and on a two-game winning streak. And, Zach, that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely's stoked up.
That's what I'm talking about!
They're an easy team to get excited about. And they win back-to-back games heading into the All-Star break. And that was sneaky big last night. I mean, Kings are a pretty good basketball team. And have certainly overachieved and had a huge lead in that game. And the Nuggets found a way. And give a whole bunch of credit to Nikola Jokic. I mean, it sounds like a broken record, but the guy goes for a monster triple-double plus the game winner. You talk about a guy that's going into the weekend with momentum. Nikola Jokic has put up 5 triple-doubles in his last 8 games. Are you kidding me? He's got 12 this season. That is insane. They are a really fun team to watch.
They are. And you could tell, man, how excited they were when they came back and they took the lead. And, I mean, it's just cool watching them play. We had Tim Connelly in, and he was talking about their chemistry and how much the guys like each other and they're good guys. And you can see that out on the court. It's fun to watch them. You can tell they're rooting for each other and they're pulling for each other. And they're a young team. They're a fun team to watch. And they're winning basketball games. It's nice to see.
And how about Isaiah Thomas? You mentioned him and you're stoked up, but him coming off the bench, knocking down a couple threes in a short span, that place was jumping. And this is going to be a really good thing. Now, it's a big challenge for sure for Mike Malone, the biggest of his career, how to manage this very delicate situation where you have a team that's been winning as consistently as the Nuggets have, and you have this new piece, and it's not just any piece. He's a former MVP candidate. And it wouldn't shock me if Isaiah Thomas is on the floor in crunch time down the stretch of this season. He's only got 25 games to figure it out, though. Mike Malone does. Typically, your rotation is set this time of year. But he's got this brand new toy, and the toy was one of the best fourth quarter players in basketball 2 years ago. So it's going to be very interesting to watch this development.
It is, and hopefully it turns out to be a good problem to have. Didn't seem like an issue last night. He played 13 minutes, 8 points, 2-for-5 from 3-point range. So he provided some key buckets.
Sure.
They were down there in the third, and there you saw Isaiah Thomas bang 3, a couple possessions later, another 3. So, and I think the more comfortable he gets with the rotation, talking about Isaiah Thomas,
mm-hmm.
and the more comfortable he gets playing basketball again, you're going to just see a better and better Isaiah Thomas.
If you missed our conversation with Tim Connelly, you have to see the video. I got to give a shout out to Johnny Hart, our digital guy, who put a tremendous piece together. The entire conversation is all in HD video, changing camera angles with the conversation. It's a really good one. And I just put it on my Twitter account. Both Stokely and I are pretty active on Twitter. You can follow Stoke at BStokely14. I am at Byesline, BYESLINE. it's a great conversation. And the video to it, it sort of like brings even more life to that conversation. So I hope you guys check that out. I just posted it. I'm excited about this basketball team, Stoke. I really am. And there's the window is just, it's exciting. It really is. And hopefully you will go to a Nuggets basketball game this year in the same calendar year as you were at the Rockies playoff game.
Nuggets playoff game.
Hopefully you go to a Nuggets playoff game in the same calendar year that you went to a Rockies playoff game and an Avalanche playoff game.
Yeah. Should have asked Tim if he's going to hook it up. Some tickets. Tim, holla at your boy.
Might have to drop him a little email.
Yeah. Let me get an upgrade. Let me get those Von Miller seats.
Let me. Yeah, Von just like comes in and kicks people out of their seats.
Those are my seats. Move.
And I'm pretty sure like the Nuggets go to folks that have those seats and say, we'll compensate you in XYZ if you let Von sit here. I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
Just get me in the building. That's all I need. In the building. And don't have Rocky trying to crowd surf over me.
You're still bitter about that.
Dude, he wasn't light. We got kids all around us and nobody else was really helping me. Rocky's been eating good lately.
He has been.
Goodness. My knee almost buckled and gave out on me. My shoulder, I got bad shoulders. I'm not participating in any more crowd surfing for Rocky.
From what I understand, Rocky's been the same guy for like two decades. And I think he makes like six figures being Rocky.
He does a good job.
He does do
He's
a good job.
Don't try to crowd surf over me because I'm not participating. You will fall on your face.
Okay. Understood.
Good.
Did you realize...
Pass that message along. Take that, Rocky.
Did you realize a part of the construct of this team with the Denver Broncos, and I'm actually asking this legitimately. I'm not being facetious or sarcastic. I actually want to know, and I need help from you guys. Do you realize the Broncos now have a Super Bowl MVP on both sides of the football? How many times in the history of the sport, legitimately asking, how many times in the history of the sport has any football team had a defensive player that was Super Bowl MVP and an offensive player that was Super Bowl MVP?
Don't know.
It feels like it could be the only example ever. That's what it feels like. Because I was racking my brain last night. I'm trying to think like, okay, defensive MVP, Super Bowl MVPs don't happen a lot.
Right.
At all. I mean, after Von, who got Super Bowl 50, who is the last defensive player that was Super Bowl MVP? Was Lawrence Taylor the MVP of the Giants Super Bowl?
Yeah, I'm the wrong guy to...
Oh, Ray Lewis was the MVP of a Super Bowl for the Baltimore Ravens. So
the
I
one
guess,
I played in.
Right, so I guess it's...
They had one. Well, no, because they never played again. Wasn't that Ray's last year? That was Ray's last year, so they didn't play again together.
Oh, that's right.
So Joe Flacco won the MVP, that. And then Ray Lewis retired. So they
he
didn't
had the
play
bionic
together.
Arm. He tore his...
Bicep,
yeah. Right earlier in the season. He huffed some deer antler spray. Next thing you know, there
bionic arm.
There
he is. Clotheslining people.
Right.
I put all my arms and legs and let him trust.
He had an arm like Mega Man. You remember Mega Man? And that just like this blue steel thing.
Yeah.
So the Broncos have a Super Bowl MVP on both sides of the football. Pretty cool. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Hopefully they can bring some magic back.
I asked you earlier, does Joe Flacco's championship, I feel like when people talk about Joe Flacco, I feel like that's where they go and stop because he hasn't been lights out here in recent years. So like I feel like the stock answer when talking about Joe Flacco is, well, we know he's won a Super Bowl and he's won a Super Bowl MVP. Hopefully... the narrative gets spin forward here with positive play. But I asked you, does that championship still have legs in 2019 with a new team? When he walks in that locker room, is he viewed as a champion or is he viewed as a retread?
A champion. Until he proves otherwise. You know, those guys in that locker room are fired up about having Joe Flacco as their quarterback. I think they want to win now, so they don't really want to have to go through a learning period and the growing pains that a young quarterback offers that you usually have to have with a young quarterback. They want a proven winner right now. They want to be able to win now. And so Joe Flacco provides them the best chance to do that. So he comes in with a lot of equity.
So even though Case Keenum had a good year more recently, like Joe Flacco walks in because he won a championship in 2013, he comes in with more equity, less recency of a guy like Case Keenum, who was coming off an NFC championship appearance.
Well, I think the guys in the locker room had hoped, like we did, that Case would build off of the year that he had. And obviously you get in the season and he proves that he wasn't that guy. Joe Flacco has done it for a lot longer, extended period of time than Case Keenum. So, he's been the starter. He's been the first round draft pick. He's been that guy there for a long time, and he's been to the top. So he comes in with the hope and the equity that guys are like, all right, you know, we got our guy, and, you know, I don't really care about 3 years down the road. These guys don't care about 3 years down the road. Most of them won't be here. They're like the here and the now. Sure. Emmanuel Sanders, sure. And these guys want to win now. And they want an upgrade, and they want to compete for championships and playoff games. They don't want to have to go through a young quarterback, and they got that guy. So they feel great about this trade, and they feel great about the upgrade from Keenum to Flacco. Have to. I know if I was in that locker room, that's the way I would feel. Like, okay, got us a Super Bowl-winning quarterback, MVP.
And if you're
a guy highly motivated.
And if you're a guy like Emmanuel, you're looking at Joe Flacco as a vessel to make you successful.
Yep.
How can I get back? Interesting. Will Cain, you know who Will Cain is? Smart guy, works for ESPN. He's on like First Take now, and he's got his own radio show. His profile is budding. I think he's a former lawyer, I want to say. Smart dude.
Okay.
He said that this move to bring Joe Flacco here to Denver is a job-defining move for John Elway. I want you to listen to this.
They better draft a quarterback, because this right here, this decision with Joe Flacco, if they do not draft a quarterback, is going to be the job-defining decision for John Elway. This right here will be the decision that either keeps him employed with the Denver Broncos or ends that employment. Since Peyton Manning, and we have to be brutally honest about this, it's not about fandom, it's not about who John Elway was, it's not about whether or not you like John Elway or not, it's just about the truth. Since Peyton Manning, the quarterback position in Denver has been mismanaged from a general manager perspective. Bringing in talent, passing on other talent, has been miss after miss after miss. There has to be at some point an end to the leash. The leash has to run out.
Strong words there from Will Cain.
Yeah.
That I can recycle the phrase I think I use too much, I've been made aware of. I will co-sign that. I don't think he said anything that was inaccurate.
The one thing that I don't think will happen, the more I think about it, I don't really think they're going to draft a quarterback this year.
Well, that part I disagree with.
Yeah.
That part I disagree with too, but more like the fundamental, like, hey, this has been totally mismanaged from a GM perspective, and this is the defining move for John, because if he doesn't get this right, we're talking about five misses at quarterback? Five.
Yeah, I mean, if you go, 5-11, 6-10 in consecutive years again, it will start to really overshadow the great 4-year run that you had with Peyton Manning and the two Super Bowl appearances, the one Super Bowl win. You'll start to overshadow that. So certainly, you got to figure out the quarterback position. You got to be more competitive in games. And then along the way, at some point, along this way, you will need to draft your quarterback. And you will need to hit on that. So right now, it's like, okay, let me just wait and see what happens here and see if he can get this thing figured out. And obviously, he didn't trust maybe his judgment on the quarterback position with these young guys. and he didn't feel like maybe anybody warranted a number 10 overall pick or an early pick. And certainly didn't want to go through that growing pain of a year or so, and then how much that could get. Let me get Joe Flacco, and that buys me some time. I think that's his thinking. And hopefully along the way here in the next few years, he can find a quarterback. And it could be the khaki pants special, and it can be that third, fourth rounder, and hopefully.
Well, that's what this allows you to do.
It does.
It allows you to sample. You're almost sampling quarterbacks in mid-rounds without the risk of taking one in the first round, and hopefully Joe Flacco can give you that sort of liberty. He will hold down the fort while John picks a quarterback in rounds three or four. Maybe you do it for the next handful of years in a row without the risk. Because I do believe, and you can tell me I'm crazy if you want to, I do believe a part of this decision, part of it, not all of it, but a part of it is based on fear. And you can tell me how John doesn't mind swinging and missing. He can tell me that. We can talk about how fearless he was as a player. But I believe, to a measurement, not all of it, but this decision was based around Joe Flacco's floor as opposed to going back into the first round and what the ramifications would be for John personally if he screwed it up again. If he took Drew Lock at 10 and it doesn't work out and your franchise is moved or set back for 4 or 5 years and the image and perception of John not getting it right again, I think this is the safe route. I happen to like it, but for John, I think it's the safe route.
It's a safe route. It's the quickest route to get you back on track. Not for the next 10 years, but for the next couple years. That's what it is. It's safe, but also gives you the best chance to win now and not in 3 years. So, you know, obviously he's worried about 2019 and getting this thing back on track. And they did a good job of starting the process last year in the draft. So that's something to build off of. You got money to spend in free agency? Things can change around pretty quickly in the NFL, and I think that's the way he's viewing this thing and obviously doesn't want to go down the draft route again early in the first round with a quarterback right now. And I don't blame him. I mean, who can blame him? I think if you put yourself in John's shoes, I would probably make that type of move also, a safer move. Allows you to free up and go, you know, build your football team around the quarterback. And you got yourself a Super Bowl MVP at the quarterback position. And you can just kind of keep your fingers crossed and hope for the best from him and hope for the best in these draft picks that you put more good players on the field like you did last year. And this thing can turn around quickly. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Sure.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm sure that's the way he's looking at it.
Absolutely. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay. Sure. I'm okay with this. I am. You always say this. Things change quickly in the NFL. There were 7 teams that were on the outside looking in at the end of the 2017 season. There were 7 teams that had fan bases that were frustrated. Those 7 teams were in the playoffs this past year. It's the only sport like it, guys, where you can pivot, make an upgrade at the most important position, make an upgrade at coach, and you can be back at the party this year, just like the Colts were, just like the Chargers were, just like the Houston Texans were. That can be us. And I'm not trying to say this is a lock, and I know people have said on the RamosLaw.com text line, you guys are drinking the Kool-Aid. I don't know if this is going to work out. I don't know if the Broncos will be back in the playoffs or will ever win a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco. But I can tell you this, for me personally, I'm now more excited about the 2019 season for the Broncos than I was yesterday morning.
Yes, 1,000%.
1,000%?
Yeah, 1,000.
Not 999%.
Nope, 1,000. Shout out to the Ramos Law texter that it drives him nuts when we say that, or when I say it.
I say it too.
Okay.
When you talk for 3 hours a day, you have a tendency to recycle some phrases.
Yeah, so 1,000%. Look, I mean, how could you not be? It is an upgrade. And now, you know what everybody's concern was? Everybody's concern was like, gosh, I don't want John Elway to draft a quarterback in the first round. He's going to screw it up. He's going to pick the wrong guy like he did with Paxton. And you know how long that set us back? That set us back years. That's what's going to happen again. Please don't take a quarterback. And this quarterback class isn't that deep. You're going to try to, you're going to Garrett Bowles it again, right? You need a quarterback and you're just going to pick one. Well, not anymore. We don't have to do that. You're free. You're flexible. You don't have to draft one at 10 anymore. Now you can take a positional player, and you can take a really good one, and we can watch that guy star on the defensive side of the football, him, Chris Harris, and playing cornerback. Go get Greedy. Go get Buddha. And then you got Bradley Chubb. Man, this defense is going to be back. Go get yourself a safety in free agency, Tyrann Mathieu, and, man, we're going to have a really good, fun defense again. I mean, that's what this move allows you to do. So how could you not be at least a little bit more optimistic and more excited about where you are today than where you were, you know, yesterday morning before the trade was announced? I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. Now, you can think that Joe Flacco might not play at a high level, and all that's yet to be determined. We'll go down that road when we watch Joe play, but I think certainly right now, what it allows you to do in the draft and what it allows you to do at the quarterback position and what – the possibilities of the upgrade at that position, I mean, to me, has me very optimistic about where we are and where we're heading in the direction. If you can make a couple other moves, that, man, you're back to in the playoff picture again, in the playoff conversation. And we were there for just a fleeting moment this year. And how much fun was that?
It was fun. I was engaged.
It was fun. It was fun watching football again. Oh, we upset the Pittsburgh Steelers. Isn't that fun? To be in those types of games and to win them?
Yes, it was. If you have Joe Flacco, do you beat the Kansas City Chiefs at home?
I think you do.
You know, like
you beat the Cleveland Browns at home. Right. I think you do.
The San Francisco 49ers, you find a way to win. You know, and
probably not.
Look. Well, look, when you emphasize the importance of the position like you just did, it's what if? What if? And I hate to take on the underdog approach, like why not us with an organization as proud and historic as the Denver Broncos, but I will. Why not us? Why can't the Broncos be back in the playoffs in 2019? Why? It's the NFL. It's not the NBA.
I mean, you can go through all the things. Upgraded coaching staff. Your defense is going to be better with Vic Fangio than what it was with Joe Woods.
Absolutely.
And oh, by the way, you're going to add some pieces to that defense. Your offense should be better with Joe Flacco and company. You're in year two with Phillip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, Deshaun Hamilton, Cortland Sutton. Jake Butt, look, I'm optimistic. Come on, Jake. Hopefully he can stay healthy. And if he stays healthy, your tight end position is upgraded. So, I mean, look, this thing is going in the right direction. And hopefully with some added pieces, we're back in the playoff picture. That's where I sit today. Now, we'll see in 6 months if that's the case or not, but I'm optimistic about the moves being made and about the possibilities of moves that could be made coming up in free agency that could really turn this thing around quickly. Get on board. Zach and Stoke are driving this bus.
I like it.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Big Allentine Day. Is that what is it called? What do we call it? The Big Allentine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love the Big Allentine Day.
Man, hope you guys have.
Yes.
Yes. Give me that one more time.
Yes.
The Drive's coming up next.